who in this hot stove league is one of the most popular men on Twitter. At Jim Bowden is the Twitter address. And, boy, we go back a long time. Let's welcome Jim Bowden to the program. He's now with Sirius Radio, ESPN. He's everywhere, knows a lot about baseball. I remember when it first started under Sid Thrift. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. Yeah, I remember when you were a young guy doing the TV, your debut at KDK TV. What a star you became, and congrats on all your success.
You too, man. I look forward to hearing what you have to say about a lot of things. And so I want to get into a lot of the conversations here. First of all, I want to start with the Marlins. They're making headlines for offering Albert Pujols 9 years, $225 million. They've also apparently extended some other potential offers out there to big names. They're getting a new stadium. How serious are these offers, and are they committed to doing this with this sort of money involved?
Well, they've made, as you know, six offers to some of the best free agents in the industry, including Albert Pujols and Jose Reyes and Mark Burley and Ryan Madsen. Look, they're not going to sign more than two of them, but they are serious and they do want to get better, and they have been aggressive. And look, the offers, I look at them as legit. I mean, they're 70 to 75 cents on the dollar. But being it's a week before Thanksgiving, that probably makes sense that that's where they're starting with their offers. What I understand is that Larry Beinfest and Mike Hill's realistic goals at this point are Jose Reyes and Ryan Madsen. I think they feel if they can get Reyes to play short, move Hanley to third, that gives them defense up the middle, gives them the leadoff hitter with speed. And then if you get Madsen, you've got the closer, who, of course, would replace Leo Nunez, who I guess had a fake name, and they don't even know if he's ever going to come back to pitch.
That's a good point. I want to turn to the Pirates a little bit, and closers are at a premium. We saw that Papelbon moves on to Boston. There's an opening there, and they're pretty coveted. The Pirates are in a situation where they have somebody who's coming off a really good year, but he's eligible for salary arbitration. I'm not so sure how much they want to commit to Joel Hanrahan, who's going to be 31. But there is a belief out there that his stock is perhaps as high as it's going to go right now. A lot of people covet guys who can come in and close the game, and the Pirates should as well. But does it make sense for them to consider trade opportunities here with teams that would possibly give you a lot more? And keep in mind that under Neil Huntington, they've only given one reliever, to my knowledge, a multi-year deal, and that was Matt Capps. What should they do with Joel Hanrahan?
You know, I think, Bob, that's a great question. I mean, I think, first of all, you've got to look at your long-term plan. And the Pirates' plan on winning isn't going to work until Gerrit Cole and Jameson Taillon are in the top of their rotation. And once that happens, then you've got a chance to win. And that's not going to happen until Hanrahan's probably 33, 34 years old. So, you know, I think when you're sitting there in the situation they're in, I think that Neil Huntington has to be open to long-term deals and keep going on the path they're on and don't deviate. Don't fill your roster with stopgap guys. And then when you get a guy like Hanrahan and you max him out and you get his stock as high as it is, you've got to listen to what clubs have to say. Now, the problem that Neil has is we have a market right now that's loaded with closers. And Papelbon, as we all know, has already gone to the Phillies in that four-year deal. But you've got Madsen, Bell, Nathan, Cordero. I mean, the market's just loaded with them. And that's the problem because you're not going to get prospects back for Hanrahan when, if you're another club, all you got to do is go sign one as a free agent and you don't have to give up your prospects. So it's a difficult position that he's in. My instincts say you arbitrate him, you go with 1 year, you see where you are in July, and maybe that will be the best time to trade him.
Jim, you mentioned players like Gerrit Cole, Jameson Taillon. You also have Stetson Alley, Luis Heredia. They seem to have some pretty good, legit pitching prospects down there in the minor leagues. First of all, you said 2 to 3 years. Beyond that, is it conceivable that all these guys will develop at the same time? Because I always think that's difficult to do. And even though you have four names here that I just mentioned, how realistic is it to expect all four to develop?
Well, I think it's realistic to think that Gerrit Cole and Taillon, if they stay healthy, are going to be what everyone thinks they're going to be. I mean, I'll be surprised if they're not top of the rotation starters. And that's really how you change your franchise. I mean, I think everyone's going to watch Washington start to win a lot of games this year because Strasburg and Zimmerman are ready to go. That's how you win, is with that top of the rotation. And I think they're a sure bet. I got to see both of them pitch a lot, and I think they're a sure bet as you're ever going to get in terms of drafting that kind of pitcher. I like Heredia a lot. I like the kid McPherson. I think they have a chance, but to me, the most likely to succeed are obviously those top two guys, Cole and Taillon.
I look at their 40-man roster. I look at the depth of the organization, and quite frankly, beyond those guys I just mentioned, I don't think there's that much. From your point of view, offensively, what do they have? Starling Marte's name comes up, maybe Robbie Grossman. They did a bold move. I give them credit for going out and getting Josh Bell. But tell me about those guys and the depth of their overall talent in the system.
Well, I like Marte a lot because I think he's going to develop into a leadoff hitter, and I think his production is going to at some point match the tools. I got to see him in the Futures game in Arizona before the All-Star game, and he really popped my eyes out. I like him. I don't think he's an impact guy, but I do think he's a leadoff guy. But then again, where's he going to play for Pittsburgh? I mean, I'm hoping that the Pirates sign McCutchen long-term because he wants to be there, and he wants to stay there, and he wants a long-term deal. And I know they don't want to give him a Jay Bruce type of deal, but you know what? That's what the market's going to say. And if you wait, it's going to cost more. If you sign McCutchen long-term, then I think Marte may be that trade piece that you go, because so many teams want a leadoff hitter that the price of them is huge. And I think the Pirates would have an opportunity to go get a middle-of-the-order bat for Marte or another rotation guy for him. I look at him as a trade piece, unless you can't sign McCutchen. And if that happens, then I think we're all just going to jump off that bridge over there.
We are talking to Jim Bowden, who used to get his career started here in Pittsburgh under Sid Thrift. 15 years as a Major League General Manager with Cincinnati and with Washington, and he's our special guest here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. You mentioned McCutchen since you brought him up, and you mentioned Jay Bruce, also Justin Upton. Those three guys were brought in at the same draft year. Those other two I mentioned, I think they had like 6 years, $53 million extensions. Is that what it takes for the Pirates to sign him, and are you committed to think that the Pirates will eventually sign someone beyond arbitration and long-term at the money? Because I think those of us who've watched this franchise over 19 years of losing now, Jim, I want to see it before I believe it. You can talk all you want, but until I see that kind of financial commitment to a core player, I don't know that I can believe it.
Well, I agree with you, Bob. And McCutchen's the one guy you have right now. He's the only guy you have, in my opinion. I mean, maybe Walker to a lesser degree. But McCutchen's the guy you got to tie up before he breaks out and has that year where then you can't afford him. And he's willing to sign a market deal now. Now, the problem is when you have Frank Cooley and Neil Huntington negotiating the deals, you know Frank's history in terms of running the LRD for Major League Baseball. He knows what comps are, and he studies the numbers, and he knows that the player fits below Upton and below Bruce. But the problem is those contracts now become old, and that's why McCutchen's going to get very close to what Bruce got. Forget Upton because he's on a different planet, but he's going to get close to Bruce. And even though you can argue, and rightfully so, that Bruce deserves to be paid significantly more, the bottom line is that's not really how the process works. And I think that if you keep going by the system, the closer he gets to free agency, the less chance you have of signing him. And I think the one thing we know now is right now the kid wants to sign, and right now he'll take a deal that's very similar to Bruce. And I got to tell you, based on what I think he's going to do in the next 3 years, I think a Bruce-like deal, maybe a little bit below, maybe $48 million. But that's where he belongs, and that's what they should do, and I think he takes that deal.
But will they do it?
I don't know. I can't answer that. That's a Neil Huntington question. I mean, the other route you go is you say Marte's my center fielder when he's ready, and I'm going to trade McCutchen and get two or three pieces. I mean, that might be the plan, but I think it's a huge mistake because the one thing I know about McCutchen, whether I talk to Clint Hurdle or whether I talk to guys that have been teammates of McCutchen, they tell me as a young kid, this guy's a real leader, too, in that clubhouse.
All right. Pedro Alvarez is another number one pick that everyone thought the Pirates should have made. They did make, and they have not been doing that too much over the past 20 years, but of late they have done what they're supposed to do, pouring money into their draft system, which is a step in the right direction. But Alvarez has been slow to respond. Why is that, and do you think he'll ever be the player that I think most of us thought he could be when he was drafted?
Bob, he's going to be the player that we all thought he was going to be. I got to know him. I scouted him. I watched him hit the home runs over all the fields. I saw him hit the 96-mile-an-hour fastball in. I saw him hit the nasty breaking ball down and away out of the park to left field. I saw him clear the trees. I've seen the bat speed. I've seen him out of shape. I've seen him in shape. His makeup is a little bit different. He's one of those guys that I projected would take a while to succeed at the big league level because of his makeup. That being said, I kind of would compare him to Alex Gordon of the Royals. Alex took a lot longer than people thought he would, and he finally put it together this year, won a gold glove, and put up big numbers for the Royals. And I look at Alvarez the same way. I think he's going to be a late bloomer, but when he gets there, I think he wins a Silver Slugger someday.
Jim Bowden, our special guest here on 93.7 The Fan. One final question, Jim, and then Monday and Tuesday we're going to see a new labor agreement. I'd like to get your take on it, number one. I don't think we'll ever see revenue sharing and salary cap like we do in football, but will this be a good agreement, and how will the Pirates be affected? As I mentioned, Josh Bell, they've been given a lot of money later in the draft. Is that something that will be compromised here as far as a way to do business under this new agreement?
Yeah, it's a good question, Bob. And look, this deal that takes place is going to be an incremental improvement for baseball, but it's not going to solve the problems for cities like Pittsburgh and Kansas City. It's not going to help them get any closer to having competitive payrolls with the Phillies, the Red Sox, and the Yankees. What this deal does do, it puts a cap on the draft, which is good or bad from the Pittsburgh perspective. Now that they're spending money, it's probably a bad thing. But there's going to be a drag in terms of what you can spend overall in the draft. And if you go over it, you're going to have to pay a tax that's like 75 cents or a dollar on every dollar you spend over that threshold. So that's going to be definitely an issue that has to be dealt with. What I like about this new deal, Bob, is the fact that there's no longer going to be the Elias rating of players. And in terms of losing your pick, if you sign a free agent, you're no longer going to lose the pick. But if you have an Elite A free agent and you sign someone else's Elite A free agent, your pick then goes to the end of the first round instead, is how it's going to work. And that what you're going to have to do is have a qualifying offer. So if you take the first 125 contracts in baseball and take that average number, and it has to be a minimum of $12 million, if you make that offer, then you're good in terms of getting the pick, but if you don't, you don't. So that's going to be a very interesting change that's going to take place. Revenue sharing basically stays the same. Luxury tax stays the same. The Super 2 arbitration is going to go from 17% to 20% in this deal, which is going to put more guys in the Super 2 pool and also move up those clubs that try to keep players down from June. It'll probably bring them back up until May. But the rest of the system, basically the same. Free agency stays the same. The rest of the arbitration process stays the same.
Jim, I always appreciate talking to you, and I want to ask you one question. 15 years as a GM, do you ever want to get back into it, or are you having too much fun doing this?
No, you know what? I love doing this, Bob, because ESPN and SiriusXM have been so great to me, and the lifestyle allows me to spend more time with family and friends. Something when you're a GM, your family and friends end up being the players, the team, the front office, and you're working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this life, you have a much more balanced life, which at this age is something that's very important to me.
At Jim Bowden on Twitter. Jim, thanks for the time. I do appreciate it, and always good to hear from you.
Bob, always a pleasure. The Twitter is Jim Bowden ESPNXM, by the way.
Okay, well, I got that right.
Thanks, Bob.